Hi, this is Christina Irvine, broker at John Green Realtor. Thanks for tuning in to our Live and Love Local podcast. For today's episode, we sat down with Executive Director Janelle Robinson from Hope's Front Door. She shared how she became involved with Hope's Front Door and all of the ways in which they provide resources, support, and empowerment to those in need in DuPage County. Good morning, Chicagoland. I'm Christina Irvine with John Green Realtor, and I'm here with Janelle Robinson from Hope's Front Door. Hope's Front Door's vision is to engage, educate, and empower each and every person in our community. Janelle has been with this amazing organization for 17 of its 19 years and is incredibly passionate about bringing awareness to the community about the needs that exist right here in DuPage County. Welcome, Janelle, and thank you for being here with us today. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for inviting me. My name is Janelle. I'm the executive director of Hope's Front Door. I've been with the organization for 17 years, and I love what I do. I'm also a mom of two boys. One just went off to college. One just graduated from college. So as far as hobbies, they were my hobbies for a lot of years. I love to read. I love writing. And I just love what I do as far as my profession and helping people. So
that's great. Can you please share with our listeners what first led you to this organization and what your journey with Hope's Front Door has been like over the last 17 years?
You know, I've always had a passion, even in high school, for helping people and trying to figure out what will have the most impact in improving the lives of people around me. I think part of that is the way I was raised. I grew up and I have two wonderful parents who really made an effort that if there were people around them that needed help, whether it was family or friends, they were willing to be there and reach out with their time, talent, and financially. I grew up with stories of my parents living in the South where there weren't, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, where there weren't organizations like Hope's Front Door that would make sure that people didn't fall between the cracks. It would really relied upon the community to do that. And so that's my base, that's my background. And so when I found out about Hope's Front Door, I had been a stay-at-home mom for a number of years, and I found out what they did, and it really resonated with me because it sounded a lot like what I grew up knowing and what I actually trained for. My master's degree is in public administration, but my focus was on how the government and government agencies and citizens can work together to improve the community, basically promoting citizenship, people becoming involved and again, improving their lives and the lives of their neighbors. So.
Yeah, when we talked in your office last week, you had mentioned specifically how the need in DuPage County gets overlooked a lot. Can you share some more about that?
Well, I think, you know, DuPage County is an affluent county, not only in the state of Illinois. It's affluent compared to other ones within the United States. And so I think that people don't understand that there are pockets of poverty. There are people who are living paycheck to paycheck. There are folks who run into situational issues where they've lost a job, and often, you know, they've done everything right that they've been told to do, you know, have 3 months of savings. But often when you lose employment, it takes a lot longer than 3 months to find a job. And now with the change in the landscape of employment, sometimes you're not finding work at the same level as which you lost. So there's that adjustment period. So I think that there's really some complexities within DuPage County and what that looks like, because there are about 65,000 households that deal with that are below the federal poverty level, and there are, you know, tens and thousands of more who are hover around that poverty level, that, you know, one emergency or crisis can drop them below that. And what we know and what we're really talking about just as a nation is that there I think there's about 50 or more percent of the country, they don't have $400 to meet an emergency need.
Got it. And so how does Hope's Front Door engage, educate, and empower inside the community?
So, you know, often one of the people come to us because we often serve as an entry point where if there is an emergency need, many of our clients are unemployed, underemployed, homeless, disabled, or seniors, and they have some type of emergency need that their limited resources are just not going to meet. So they come in and we help them with food vouchers, transportation vouchers, help with medication, access to dentists, access to eye exams and eyeglasses. And so we meet that immediate need. And once we provide that relief, we're able to have a conversation with them and find out what we can do to move them towards more stability and long-term solutions, whether that's within our organization or with our community partners. So within our organization, we have a financial literacy program, a money management program, and it covers just some really basics of savings, debt management, budgeting, and looking at needs versus wants. And then there's also a component to that has a second chance savings part to it, because some folks who are coming into us have their credit history is poor. And so we have about 10 local banks that work with us that, regardless of that, they will open up a savings account for them, again, to get them to the point where they can, if they're able to, but to help them save and learn healthy saving habits and really get that cushion so that they can get to the point where they have that $400 in the bank so they can weather some storms that come and some financial setbacks. We have a jobs program that, you know, we have job coaches, we have local businesses that come in that start the initial hiring interview process on site. We have a job list. We work with HR professionals to help participants become job ready and to learn how to market themselves. And then we also have a health and wellness education program, because there are a substantial amount of our clients. We see about 5,600 people throughout DuPage County a year, and that includes children. There's a substantial amount of them that report that they have some type of chronic illness, whether it's diabetes or high blood pressure. And so we work with health professionals to identify ways and help them create action plans that can help them manage these issues. And sometimes it's also even looking at emotional and mental issues that are that can impact them, because living in a chronic state of crisis can affect your ability to navigate the world around you, and make it that much harder to move beyond living in crisis. So we've worked with Midwestern University to come in and talk about anxiety and how that can lead to procrastination and feeling overwhelmed, and again, helping the participants and our clients learn to kind of manage these issues, which in turn will hopefully move them forward in life.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think when people feel just human and they realize that it's really not any different than us, they're just in a different end of the spectrum for now, I think it really helps them get across that bridge, right? Like, everything's a downward spiral for all of us when we're in a challenging place, and helping them just kind of...
You know, I always say that, you know, a financial or health crisis can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter your race, your education, social background. It's, you know, people lose jobs, people run into, you know, have health issues that can really be devastating physically and financially. Mm-hmm. Hope's Front Door is open to, our door is open to anyone in the community. And so I have seen people who've worked at, you know, there's a lot of different tech industries around here, Motorola and Lucent. I've seen people from that industry come in. I've seen laborers come in. So it runs the gamut, and that's why I think organizations like Hope's Front Door are so important, that there is a resource that is there that people can access to figure out next steps. And also, again, not, you know, so that you don't fall between the cracks, because, you know, I mentioned transportation. It is a huge issue. It's particularly around DuPage County, and we help with fuel cards and bus passes and train passes. But it's one of those things that, you know, we don't always think about. You can't get the job if you can't get there to interview. So it's these little things, and I think that's where Hope's Front Door steps in to make sure that people can really move forward in life.
There was a story you told me in our very, very first conversation about a little girl who, I think, broke her glasses.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, as much as I talk about, you know, we serve 5,600 people, but those are people who have, you know, really real lives and real struggles and you make a connection with. And I remember talking with a little girl, she was in high school, Downers Grove North, and we interviewed her and her mom, and she had come in and she needed glasses, an eye exam, because she had been going to school with, she had broke her pair of eyeglasses, and she had been they had been trying to figure out ways to compensate for that. So, you know, the teacher was moving her closer to the chalkboard. I don't think they call them chalkboards anymore. I'm showing my age. The whiteboard. But she had been using her mom's glasses. Not the same prescription. But she had been using her mom's glasses because she knew her mom had lost her job and was looking for work and didn't want to burden her mom with the fact that, you know, she was having difficulties seeing. And it's, so we were able to, you know, step in and get her in to get her eyes examined and get new glasses. But it's one of those things that, you know, again, you don't think about it, and it's heartbreaking, because I wear glasses. I don't know how I would function during the day if I did not have them. And here is this, you know, 16-year-old girl who has these worries, worries about making sure that, you know, not wanting to burden her mom, worries about making sure that they can continue to have a place to live, have food to eat, and then on top of that, you know, she can't see. So the fact that we were able to step in and help with a job list and information like that for her mom, help with food vouchers for the family, and, you know, importantly, help her be able to see and engage in school was really important, and one of the things that I carry with me.
Yeah, that was a really good story. It's one of my favorites for sure. So how can people help?
Well, there are a number of ways that folks can help. We're a nonprofit, so I don't know of any nonprofit that's like, oh, we don't need financial assistance. We always need donations. So we're looking for donations. We are at our heart and at our core a grassroots organization. So we're always looking for volunteers who can come in and sit and talk with their neighbors and, again, figure out what we can provide and then point them in the right direction of other organizations as well. And we have some things coming up. We that we've been around for 19 years, so we're starting our kickoff of our 20th anniversary campaign. And so we have a kickoff event on September 14th, and it's to help us fund programs going into the future, the ones that I mentioned, but also some of the activities for the community for the next 12 months. And so that's on the 14th, and if people are interested in finding more about that, they can go to our website, which is hopesfrontdoor.org. But we also have some wonderful programs just that are coming up, or opportunities that are coming up in the next couple of months. And it's really geared around the holidays and making sure that families and children have a wonderful holiday. So it's delivering hope to your neighbor's front door for the holidays. And People can help by donating gently used or new toys or winter items, you know, hats, gloves, things like that.
Socks was another one you said was a huge deal.
Yeah, socks are huge, and it's particularly important to our homeless population that we serve, because they're going from shelter to shelter, and it's going to get cold soon. So definitely the gently used toys and new toys, and I would say for the winter gear, we'd like for those to be new, particularly the socks, if possible. We also are starting going into a Giving Tuesday, which is a global day of giving, and that campaign for us will start on October 1st, and more information will be available on our website on October 1st. But people can give $47.70. And that provides a child with a healthy, affordable meals for a week through Hope's Front Door. And really, there's, you know, any amount that people would feel comfortable donating, we would appreciate it, because we are seeing an increase in the number of families and individuals coming in for assistance. And I would, you know, I have to stress that, you know, obviously the donations are important, but I think there's the message behind the the message behind the donations are almost just as important. And, you know, I've had people come in for the very first time and ask questions about, well, how do you how do we get our funding? And I explain that, you know, it's primarily community members. And, you know, I remember one lady who was looking for work, and she came in to get a job, a gas voucher, and she said to me and looked up at me and just with such a sense of wonder, and she said, "You mean there are people out there who know and care about people like me?" And, you know, there are a couple of things, and it gets to me, because I think folks often feel invisible when they're in a crisis, and it can be even tougher when they're in DuPage County. And so the message that we are delivering when, you know, we donate financially or we donate toys or socks is that we care about our neighbors, we care about each other, and that we see them. And I think that that's one of the things that Hope's Front Door does really well, is using all these community resources, whether it's the individuals that come in to volunteer, or the banks that help with the financial literacy program, or, you know, Walgreens or Midwestern, and all these different businesses that come together to provide the health and wellness aspects, is that, you know, we really show that we care about people and that compassionate aspect of it. And, you know, I tell the story, and it's always difficult for me to get through. But it really, I think, exemplifies or an example of why I do what I do. And I, you know, it's been some years, but I remember working with a lady, and we had worked with her, a client, for about a year and a half. And when she first came to us, she was homeless. And so we worked with her and a couple other community organizations worked to help her get back on her feet, and she was so very motivated. And at her last visit with us, you know, she had found housing, she had found a job, and, you know, she got up and she said, "You know, this will be the last time I will come in." She said, "I'm back on my feet," and I congratulated her. I was very happy for her. And she got up and she went to walk away, and then she turned around and she came back to me and she said, "Thank you for always treating me like a person." She said, "You guys have always treated me like I was a person when I came in here." And that gets to me. It's very rare that I can tell that story without, you know, tears in my eyes, because I can't imagine, just because you have a crisis or a need, that you are less than anyone else in the community. So I think that that's what Hope's Front Door really does well, and all the community partners really do well, is that we encourage and walk alongside our neighbors who have a crisis and have a need.
It's really, really powerful. And I almost feel like mic drop, like you can just kind of finish on that note. But there were a couple of things I wanted to double back and just get a little bit more information on. Mm-hmm. Giving Tuesday had a really cool story. Can you share a little bit more about what that is globally and then why it's such a big deal for us here?
Definitely. So Giving Tuesday is probably about maybe 7 years old. And it started because Giving Tuesday is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So this year it'll be December 3rd. And so, of course, you have, you know, after Thanksgiving, you have Black Friday, and then there's Small Business Saturday, and then there's Cyber Monday. And lastly, there's Giving Tuesday. And the idea is that, you know, during this period, we are shopping for loved ones and doing all these things, but it gives us also an opportunity on that Tuesday to look around and at some really worthy, wonderful nonprofits and figure out a way to give to them and give to our neighbors around. So it's really just a neat concept of kind of looking around in our community and figuring out how we can have an impact after several days of shopping and enjoying family and friends.
So. Yeah, I think that's really important, and it's really cool to take that moment to do that for sure. The other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit more about is I'd asked you if you do a food drive for the holidays, and you'd said no, we specifically do vouchers for families. Can you elaborate on why you do the vouchers instead?
Sure. There are wonderful pantries in the area, and we do partner with them. Mm-hmm. But the food vouchers allow people to go to grocery stores and fill in for things that they are not receiving from a pantry. And it gives them some flexibility because, you know, obviously they know things that their family will eat that maybe they can't get from a pantry. There may be some fresh items that are not available at a pantry that they can use the food voucher for. The other part of it is that, and I may have mentioned this, that there are about 35% of our clients have some type of dietary restriction. Mm-hmm. And so this allows them to adhere to what their doctor is telling them, and again, kind of helping them on their road to becoming healthy and managing their diseases. We also have, again, we work with the pantries. We have a pantry list. We encourage people to first go to the pantries to see what they can get there, and then use the vouchers and fill in. And so we really complement each other in that way.
Yeah, it's just a really thoughtful thing to take into consideration their food sensitivities. And
right, and we have a number of clients who are battling cancer. And so these food vouchers allow them to purchase and share these types of items that are really helping them as they face these health challenges.
And so, where do the food vouchers come from?
Well, we actually purchased them from Jewel and Aldi. You know, we get discounts, but again, this is where the donations from the community come in, and it allows us to help our neighbors. Yeah,
got it. Well, thank you for what you do.
Oh well, you know, I always, for me, this may sound corny, and it will sound corny.
Corny is good sometimes. It's okay.
So for me, it's an honor to do what I do every day. It's not for the majority of our clients. It's not easy to come in and ask for help. And so the fact that they trust us, and they share us, you know, they share their stories with us, their fears, they celebrate when they've met some goals like finding housing or a job. It's really an honor to be invited into folks' lives. It's an honor to be able to provide assistance, and it's wonderful to be able to know the community in this manner. The people who help and are fantastic as well. So I enjoy what I do.
You're amazing. And so for somebody who wants to come off to that kickoff event, can you tell us a little bit more about what that would look like?
So the kickoff event, like I mentioned, is September 14th. We will, it's called Cocktails for a Cause. So there'll be, you know, food and silent auctions and raffles and other giveaways. And Larry Malreef, the meteorologist at ABC, ABC 7, Chicago News, will serve as the MC for the evening. So again, the tickets are $75. And if folks are interested in coming out, it'll be a wonderful evening. It's in Burr Ridge. I don't have the address in front of me, but it's in Burr Ridge. And you can always give us a call at 630-241-0187 for more information and to purchase tickets. Or the tickets are also available on our website as well. And that's at hopesfrontdoor.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. We are grateful to Janelle for taking the time to speak with us today and share the mission and wonderful work of Hope's Front Door. For more information, check out their website, hopesfrontdoor.org. Once again, I'm Christina Irvine with John Green Realtor, and thank you for listening to the Live and Love Local podcast.